this part of the recording in the website. I can send it to you if you want, but I don't have to put it in the website. So if you want to share and like speak, you know, you don't need to fear that this will show up in the website and other people will watch it. So it's part of our sharing kind of things that help us to share in a more safe environment where we don't need to be concerned that this will be seen by others. So yes, Nina, I'm really happy with what you said. Thank you for sharing that. Hey, Lori, how is it going?
I'm doing very well, thank you. The thing that stood out to me, resonated really strongly, was when you said, it hurts the ego, not the soul. And just by separating those two, to me, would accelerate your processing of it. Because when you're devastated by something that someone might have done with you, it does feel like it's reaching directly to your soul. Like it hurts that much, but it's not. It's not. So you can kind of visually separate that and heal what you need of the ego. And I know it's not good to have ego, but we need a little bit of it, right? Yes. Depending on the position you are in life and where you are in life. But I think that really helps. And knowing that that solid base of the soul is always there and gets stronger because of that conduit, maybe from the experience you had.
It's powerful. What do you think? And Lori, you can answer yourself or anyone else who wants to answer. How would you differentiate between the ego and the soul? What is the ego?
Ego is your pride. Ego is your thinking mind, not your being. Maybe others can chime in.
I think I have I think actually you told me this one, Kobe. I just remember now when you're asking the question, when my kind of my voice is in the head or whatever, like my conversations in my head, if it's, you said something like this, if it's not on my side, then it's my ego. And I've used that quite sometimes, and it worked for me. So that's one answer.
What does it mean for you, David, by my side? Can you elaborate, please?
If it's, if the voice or my conversation in my head, if it's against me, if it's minimizing me, if it's saying I'm wrong, and if it's not supporting me, and it's not, if it's not... encouraging me to be me or so on.
Very good.
Yeah, then it's kind of my ego. It's kind of against me. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's wonderful, David. Really, thank you for saying that. And it's like, please.
I just want to say that I really think that this is something that is also very valid for me. And I feel that I'm always asking myself, does this arise out of love or out of fear? And if it arises from fear, then it's definitely my ego coming and making me do either something that is to set myself higher so that other people will like me, or to be like, oh no, I can't do this. This is too much. I will hide away. And that is not good. And I think this is definitely something that you have taught me throughout these lessons.
Thank you. Lori, you wanted to say something as well?
Yeah, just lastly, I'm sure you're familiar with Eckhart Tolle and the New Earth, but that book did something to me many, many years ago, just about questioning anything that goes on that upsets you in life. Ask yourself, is this because of my ego? And when you start looking at things based on ego, it really changes the dynamics. And sometimes it might not be the situation, but asking that question or recognizing it and trying to first recognize it within yourself, because there's a reason you're getting upset, you know, and a lot of times it's within your own head, you know. But anyway, it's, the ego is a fascinating topic, I feel.
Yes, it is. I think what you guys are saying is really important, and we have like two sides of the ego, and it's like really depends how it will manifest in our personality. One, but both sides of the ego will be concerning with me, me, me. It will be all about me and only about me, and not about the, like the little me, the me that sees only myself separated from everyone else. Yeah. So it's like the soul is eternal and it's infinite because it's not just mine. It's a collective energy that I am connecting to. It's a higher level of consciousness where me is not the most important thing in the world. There is everyone that is the most important thing in the world. It's like I'm connecting to a level of energy that is belongs to everyone, to the collective. And the ego is all concerning about me, me, me. And many times it's expressed like David was saying, in a way that it's like when I'm really hard about myself. Yeah, so it's like being very hard on myself, beating myself up, saying that I am wrong, judging myself, criticizing myself in a way that is really not beneficial. And in other ways, and it's less common, but it's also something that is happening sometimes, is that we say, I am the best. No one else is better than me. I am, it's like, I know everything and everyone else doesn't. And it's happening, like, and we can see it all the time. We can see it also now with the coronavirus. I am the expert of the corona. I know more than everyone. I would have done differently. Yeah, this is I, me, 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 that is, it's all about me, and that is, the ego is manifesting. And this is, and it's manifest differently for each person, yeah? So for one person, it will be very like judgment that we bring. For another person, it will be arrogance. For another person, it will be like a obsession of, about, some desires that we have, and some other will have an obsession about a relationship that is happening, and so on and so on. So it's like the ego is a limited version of who we are that like look from a very narrow standpoint at reality. Yes, Irene, would you like to say something? It can be about the ego, about anything.
I was wondering if there's somebody else would talk. Somebody else took the unmute first. But yeah, mine is maybe a little bit about the ego. At first, this is my fourth time here, and I think they have been all extremely valuable and changed a lot of things that how I think. And it's also, as I get new ideas and new ways to behave and do things, at the same time, I reflect how I have done earlier. And I feel also very heavy, you know, because I think that already during these four times, I think I've gotten many realizations that would have made me act in a very different way. And I think like my sons, they would be much better off if I had this understanding that I now have. So this is sort of a question of ego, because I feel at the same time extremely happy and at the same time very depressed, because I can see that if I had this knowledge 20 years ago, everybody around me would be more happy.
Yes, this is a really good point. It's like I can relate to it in many different ways. It's like, how didn't I know it before? If I would known that, like, 20 years ago, my whole life would go into a complete different course. If I was exposed to yoga when I was 12 years old, I would be enlightened already. It's like, damn my mother that like didn't expose me to yoga in 12 years old. You know, it's these very strong realizations like that makes us sometimes even angry, at least myself, make me even angry. It's like, why don't we know this? It's like, why didn't I know that before? How couldn't I think about it by myself? It's so simple as well, like to have these sentences are not rocket science. It's very, very simple truth that is displayed in a very accessible way. So it's a really good point. But we take it to the path as well. We take this emotion that you speak about, the heaviness, we take it to the path as well. We say, okay, would it be helpful for me right now to regret about the past and to this? No, it wouldn't be helpful. It actually is really powerful that now I've learned that and I can use that now. And there is something about learning, like doing it now and having it in this particular moment in our life, it says that we are ready for these kind of things. We had to go through a process of doing things wrong in order to learn these things and do them right. And it's like an evolution, yeah? And it's very powerful. As much as we know all of these things that we have done wrong, it makes us even more powerful doing things better in the rest of our life. But I don't want also to ignore the pain in that as well, because there is a pain in that. There is a pain in like knowing that like for some years I was not behaving in the way that I could have. And like that I've done mistakes, and there is a big, strong pain that comes with that. And we shouldn't ignore this pain. It's like, we should love this pain. Yeah, it's like we should treat this pain like a child, like a sick child. The next verse speaking about a sick child, like a mother that taking care of the sick child. The same thing, like we want to care of our own pain and our own suffering, not in a way of pushing it away, in a way of like loving it and using it for greater realizations. Thank you, Irene. It's very important. Thank you for sharing.
I also feel like this goes back to something that you and Pazit actually started out with when you first did the community member meeting and everything else, which is about self-compassion. And I feel like it all circles around back to that, to forgiving yourself and not saying, hey, I was fantastic, but saying, yeah, I did things wrong, but I forgive myself for, and actually stumbled across a quote that encapsulates that, which is basically, forgive yourself for not knowing what you didn't know before you learned it. And I feel like that, whatever you are saying, always comes back to this, and to, as you say, taking it on the journey and practicing self-compassion, and this is where we start. Practicing self-compassion to ourselves for not having known that before, knowing it better, for the pain that we afflicted on ourselves, for the pain that we afflicted on others, and using that compassion to do better.
Yes.
At least that's kind of something that came up for me when you were talking about it.
And then we can also treat others like that. So it's like, because the whole text is about how to treat others with compassion. But if something like this is coming up, which is very natural, then if I act to myself without self-compassion, how can I act to others with compassion? Yeah. So it's like, it's also a guide for me. It's like a teacher. Again, you see the suffering as a teacher, the pain as a teacher, the mistakes as a teacher. oh, now I have an opportunity to go even further in my spiritual evolution because I'm facing my own pain and I have an opportunity to practice self-compassion, which is an important part of this path. And by the way, any time you can jump in. I know that like for the last 15 classes, I couldn't shut my mouth up. And I just like spoke and spoke and spoke. But today I'm not shutting up, but I am just giving like a space a bit. So if you want to jump in, please jump in.
I want to jump in just because Elmira said something that I wanted to kind of expand on or understand. I agree. She said, I think the words were about forgiving yourself for what you did not know before. Or,
yes.
Well, I immediately thought that's very true. And then I thought about those times. And I thought, actually, during those times, I kind of, in my gut, knew. But I was young and it was kind of what people told me, but I was like, well, nah, I don't know, you know? And I think it was kind of my ego that thought like, okay, one person would tell me what I wanted to hear. One person would tell me probably what I needed to hear. And my ego would listen to the person who told me what I wanted to hear. So it's like, even though, I mean, I've never been blind to those times completely. But I guess it comes with kind of just growing up and maybe the pain of making the wrong choice. But it's so, sometimes it's hard to forgive myself because, well, there's a couple things I had no knowledge of and that's easier, but the other things are harder. And that reminded me of, oh my, that was the ego I was following when I kind of knew better, but it's almost like, I'm not going to get political, but like there's always two sides. And sometimes you're following a side because that side is out there. But then later you realize, no, my soul is with that other side, kind of.
Yeah. It's very natural. We have to understand. It's like, and Laurie said that before as well, that we cannot get rid of the ego. Mm-hmm. It will not happen. It's like the ego is the way that we operate in this world. And the ego is the way that we present ourselves to others. Like to kill completely the ego sounds very, first sounds very aggressive. Yeah. And second, unreasonable. It's just we cannot operate in the world without the ego. We have to have like to be completely isolated in a mountain or in a cave in order to have no ego at all. Yeah. And when we start operating in the world and socializing and working and having relationships and like having give and take all the time, there will be some ego there. The thing is not about eliminating the ego completely, it's about working on the ego, exactly like Laurie said in the beginning of the conversation. So this is the lesson that we need to take. Rather than make our ego our enemy, it's like make the ego something that we work with and learn from, yeah? So it's like in the same line of what we've said so far, instead of being very strong, very critic of ourselves, that we have an ego, understanding that it's part of us and learning how to love it and how to work with that and how to improve it. And actually the ego is something that we can improve. The soul is something that we cannot improve. Soul is already perfect. Soul is already perfect. It's like 100% perfect. We don't need that to do anything. The soul is healing us. We cannot heal the soul. But we can heal the ego. And we can improve the ego. And this is something that we do with awareness, with loving kindness, with the characteristics that comes from the soul.
Thank you.
Can I go? There's something about the text today and listening to what you were saying. I mean, I've been in business for 40 years and all of my income was always derived from customers. So I learned at a very young age that taking criticism enabled me to shape my business to suit the customer, so that they would stay a customer and carry on paying me. Constructive criticism I've always loved. But my problem was praise. So if somebody gave me the positive praise, I crumbled. I just fell apart. I've never been able to handle praise. I wondered what you thought about that.
Yeah, it's a good one. Anyone want to take that?
I'd like to say something about this. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yeah. So I think some things, they come from the childhood, and that's what I'm working on as well. Like, I love this text and all the verses that we've been working on, but sometimes some things are just there because for our future development as human beings and for future development of ourselves. So maybe what Jason said, just that when somebody's praising you and you don't know how to get it, it's because like it comes from your childhood and you don't know, maybe it's because of the parents or your surroundings, like the teachers and all the people that we were around. And I know now some, like I suffer from some things that I'm aware of right now. And I know that I try actually to find out where they come from, and this helps me a lot. So some of them I'm aware even where they come from, and I think it's much easier, like when you dig really into your past.
Yes, very nice. Zvezda.
Thank you,
Zvezda. And I think you're completely right. Shiro wants to say something.
Yes. I think that the work on getting criticism and getting praised is the same work. It's not very different. You need to, like, I feel like I need to, when I'm getting any criticism, whether it's positive or constructive, or even negative, I feel like I need to explore the content and to search for the truth in it. So whether it's sort of I hate you and I need to find what's under the I hate you, or whether it's oh, you're so great, then to look what's under this you're so great, and to reflect and to know, and when you search for the truth under the words, sometimes it's very blunt and there, sometimes it's not, then you can really take it in. When you really explore what was said to you, then you can take it in and you can make peace with it, whether it's elevating or constructive. I feel like this is the work that I am trying to do when people say stuff to me, because I feel like I have hard time both criticism and praises, and it's, for me it's a lot of work, but it's the same work.
I have to compliment you for this remark. Shira. It was really good.
What I feel like what Shira is saying, on the content level, yes, to work on it and examine it, that's, I feel like that is one part of the work. And I feel like the second part of it is what you just said a couple of minutes ago about there being two sides of the ego. And so it's basically two sides of the same coin, whether you are more open to criticism because that is already what you believe about yourself, that you're not worthy, that you need to improve or something like that, or whether you're more open to praise because you need that because you are not capable of dealing with criticism. Both of these are seem to me like they're two sides of the ego that we work with. And it's whatever the underlying program is, as Zvezda mentioned, is what we then believe that we're worthy of or not worthy of. But we are working basically on the same ground. Just it depends which side of the ego is there in this context. I feel like that kind of summarizes what the others were saying with, or combines it with what Kobe just presented a little bit ago.
And then I think it's one important thing is that both are the same thing for the negative and the praise, the positive thing, that I think they always could be treated as gifts from the person who is giving them. And if we think of them as gifts, if somebody gives us a gift, I think we are happy and we smile and we say thank you. So I think with praise, we should do the same. And also with the negative criticism, we could do the same always, because they are always sort of gifts. Somebody is taking interest in us and wants to talk to us. And also, I think very often the praise and the negative things is maybe even more about the person who is saying them than about us, or equally much. If we take it like a gift and a comment about the person themselves and about us, I think then we should by naturally accept both the praise, even if it's really outstanding praise, and the negative things.
Wonderful, wonderful, thank you. How is it going there, Christine?
Hi there, all. It's going really well. I guess I just want to thank you, Kobe, because this has been a wonderful few months. There's no question, and I've gotten so much out of everything, all the different classes that I've done with you. I think one of the most important things I'm taking away is this connection to my heart, bodhicitta. And I also wanted to comment on this, the verses from today. What's interesting to me, at least right now, the most criticism I receive is from my husband. And I think that's very interesting when it gets that close. You know, I'm sure we all have family members that you'd like to tell them a thing or two. I certainly do. And I just think it's easy, especially when you get criticism from someone very close to you. I think it's easy for my ego to go, you're just slanted, you just see it all wrong, or, you know, it's very easy for me to do that. But what's interesting is to find the truth in it and where I can learn. I was just kind of curious if other people find that, you know, if they're close, someone who's closest with you, giving you criticism, what that's like. And yet often there's this incredible truth within that. That we can learn. Maybe it does get a little exaggerated sometimes. You know, I'm curious what others might say.
I agree with you 100% about the spouse relationship. And I was even someone asked the question, I think it might have been Lori, like when you get that negative advice or constructive criticism, what about the tone? Because that's what goes wrong in our relationship probably is the tone, you know, because maybe they don't listen the first couple times. So I know with me, my tone gets louder and stronger. And then he's like, why are you yelling? I'm like, because you didn't listen the first three times when I said it nicely. But I do, it's the same. You know what I mean? Actually, he's much better at keeping his tone down. But oh my gosh, if a stranger told me the same thing, I'd be much more polite. So yeah.
Well,
and that's something we're working on, at least we're aware. So yeah.
I think it is an interesting subject, Kobe, and I don't know if you'd ever want to go there about our closest relationships, because there can be some interesting things there. And I do want to also, you just made me think of it, Terry. I have found it extremely helpful, be able to calm my energy, to just totally calm down rather than be hooked in. Remember, I don't know how you talked about this, Kobe, but how we can get hooked in rather than just that person can be all upset or whatever it might be. But if we can, I guess it's just try to stay with your heart and not get all, you know, let the ego get hooked.
Yes. So rich, this area, because like really, as much we will be closer to someone, the more potential for true spiritual work will be. Yeah, it's like if we share our life with someone, or our mothers, like many times I speak about mothers, you know, mother can tell you something and like that you, it's like your whole energy is changing, you know, it's like, and she would say something that like only 20 years after you would say, yes, she was right. You would not say it. She was right in the moment. And there is, it's very interesting, because it can be such a playground for development and for working on ourselves. Oftentimes when someone is getting into a deep relationship, it can be a partner or a very good friend, or even closer to the parents or someone from the family. What happens is that there is an ability to really work on themselves. So it's like when we get really, really close, we have a mirror. We have someone that it's like, we are not alone anymore. There is like, it's like, oh, this is how I feel. And it's like I'm confronted all the time, not with the other person, with myself. There is like, such a intense work in a relationship. And I think like it's many times much more difficult than just being alone. Being in a relationship, we are always need to work on ourselves. And I think like it's definitely something that we can develop more in the later on in the classes, in the text group. But I'm happy to keep on discussing about that now, even if you guys want. Anyone want to say something?
I feel like I've been talking a lot, but going back to your first question, I just would like to tell you what it's all meant to me. I just want to say, like, I've been reading kind of self-help spiritual books for probably almost 30 years now. And so all these teachings I've heard in different words and aspects, but I feel like all of this that we're doing by meeting twice a week and learning from you, it's really bringing it completely all together. And that's so interesting because you've eliminated a lot of the fluff. You know, when you read a book, it's all like la 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 fluffy, and then it gets to some substance. And I feel like you've been able to bring all the substance together in one place for me. So it's easier to learn. And I even wrote some of my stuff down because I didn't want to forget to tell you. I think that the reinforcement of this group setting and twice a week in my brain, that's, or my soul maybe, I don't know, is something I need to really learn it and keep focus. I also liked the idea of, like, I think when we learn these teachings, and I think of like myself and just little cycles I wanted to break that I grew up with, that you're teaching us kind of how to break some bad cycles, which is hard from the past. But then I picture it as, if I'm going to break that cycle in a positive way, I'm going to pass on more positive things to the next generation. And they're not going to have that in their background. But not like that's some awesome thing, because then that generation has, they're going to pass on something even different and better. And if we keep doing that, evolving that, I mean, really, ideally, it could reach a lot of people and hopefully be positive for the whole world. And even if you look back in history, a lot of bad cycles have been broken. Racism isn't as bad. Acceptance of different genders or sexuality. I mean, all this stuff. And so I think that is wonderful. And I have to say, and just learning about, I always kind of heard this, but about, you know, suffering is okay and it's going to teach us. And I really laughed inside almost the first 4 or 5 times Pazat would say, "How are you guys doing?" And somebody would say, "Not very good," or something. And she'd be like, "Well, that's good. You're alive," or "Okay," and smile. I'm like, "What is she doing?" But now I really understand that, you know, and so I appreciate that. And then I keep thinking in my mind, and I think I know what you meant, but I thought it was interesting. You said flowers grow in the dark. And so I think that means we're going to only have growth really during the dark, symbolizing the tough times. And I just wondered if I was interpreting that correctly.
I think it definitely is, like, we have to have the dark. I just, we are working on, like, both me and Pazit, we write a book now and develop like a kind of a whole program based on the 5 elements that we spoke of a few times here. And so it's like we are going to get with the first course maybe in 2 months from now. It's like we really work on that hard, and it's really very much in process. And the dark times are really the moments where things are not going easy. And it's like, I think like, we cannot grow when things are very easy. It's like we can maintain when things are easy. It's like Tanzin Palamo is giving the example of a gym. She's saying like, and like millions of dollars are invested in order to develop a machine that will make things difficult for you. So it's like no one is developing a machine that like that's it, like, I don't know anything. It's like I have to push really hard in order to really get stronger and improve your health and so on. And there is a lot of investment in this direction. And it's the same with everything in life. It's that when it is, it's nice, it's cool. She says something really interesting, and I really resonate with that. Tenzin Palamu, she's saying, if you want your life to be all the time very easy, that everyone will like you, that you'll just get like be all the time happy, and everyone will say how cute you are, you should ask to be the next lifetime a poodle.
A what?
A poodle.
A poodle?
Like a poodle. Okay. Yes.
Some people like poodles, but I don't.
So they ask to be a poodle, but not Terry's poodle.
Right.
Thank you. So this is one thing. Another thing that came up from what you are saying, which is really true. We are in a very different situation today in history than what we were like just even like 50 or 60 years ago. So I have definitely a lot of criticism, social criticism about what's going on today in the world, but it doesn't necessarily mean that there is no progress or there is no evolution. I don't know if history is necessarily deterministically is going into a better direction. I don't claim that, but it is a fact that today the world is in a much better situation than what we were after World War II. Like there is a whole different evolution for so many different, in so many different aspects. A lot to improve, a lot to work on, but we have been in the best time of humanity so far, like in a way, and like with the way that we can offer medical help and the way that human rights are there, and there is, it's like just like, you know, and like me and Sue and are living in countries that like even today there is like a very strong violation of human rights, and there was like very very recently that it was there was an attempt to change that. So there is a big progress, and there is much to appreciate and to be grateful for. So thank you for saying that, Terry. Hey, Tigani, do you want to participate in this discussion today? Okay, thank you, Tigani. And Sue, anything from you?
Yes, hi, Kobe. Great Dharma talk as always. And can identify with a lot. I like today that it's more interactive, because when other people talk, it's often what's going on in my mind, or I learn from, so I do appreciate it. The ego, yes, you know, I've really, a couple of years ago, it was brought to my attention that I was called self-righteous, and I really had to start doing some work on my ego. And I've since learned that any of my behavior, if I have to validate it, then I know this is ego. I need to reel myself in. Behavior shouldn't need to be validated. And what Jason was saying, you know, about accepting praise, I had to go down that road as well with, you know, as far as, first of all, constructive criticism I could not do, because I was my own worst critic. So whatever you would say to me, I would say 100 things worse. And I really had to look at that negative voice in my head, because this was self-inflicted. And in a way, it was a form of self-sabotage. And it's you know, it's a process. It really is a process. I had to start with stopping, being aware of the negative voice, for one. I used to then start practicing. When I received a compliment, I used to practice saying thank you. And to me, saying thank you is you're accepting the compliment, and I didn't believe I was worthy of the compliment. Thank you, God, with practice over the last couple of years. I can appreciate constructive criticism, as can I accept a compliment. I like what was said about it as a gift. I see it as well, a compliment as a gift. And it does go back to childhood. The lovely lady with the beautiful smile, I can't say her name, Davistar, I think, is so right. You know, I had to go back down to my roots and back down to where did this come from and have a look and actually choose what to hold on to and what to let go. And when you start practicing, I tell you what, life becomes a hell of a lot better. It really does, because just as I was judging myself, I realized I was very much judging others. And now as I choose not to judge others, I find that my self-judgment is much, much better. So great Dharma talk as always. Thank you, Kobe.
Thank you. So one thing that came up to my mind when you were saying, which was really, really important, and thank you for bringing it up, is this like sabotager, the sabotage, the saboteur, the one who like is always like being so hard on ourselves. And actually, this is part of the ego that is can take this verse and make delights from that, you know? So it's like saying, oh, there's like someone is saying my faults, and then I'll take it and like keep on sabotage myself because of the faults that I have. So instead of taking it to the path of liberation, taking it to the path of like intensifying the ego. And it's also very similar to what David was sharing in the beginning as well. So we want to be careful there. So it's like, it's a really, really good point. We really want to be careful not to go in this path and like we said, kill the ego, beat the ego, being very hard on ourselves, like using other people's words as actually a proof that we are not worthy enough and so on and so on. We have to remember this is not a healthy ego. Yeah, so it's like ego, it's like the narcissism. Narcissism is an ego that's saying, I'm the best more than everyone else. And narcissism is saying, everyone else is better than me. And both of these sentences are focusing on me. It's all about me. Yeah, and this is how the ego operates. This is exactly how the ego operates. It's just about me. There is no one else that is important in this world. And it can go both ways, like Almira was saying before as well. So let's take this recommendation, this verse, this practice, not to beat ourselves up, but actually to learn and to grow and to develop a healthy ego rather than to get into a self-sabotage situation. I had in mind a thought, and like this is like I'm just a kind of a suggestion, and maybe to have like to be honest, like really to be completely honest, I don't like Facebook. It's just like, it's not my thing. It's like, I really tried. It's like, even my Facebook is not my Facebook. It's a vagabond Facebook. And after a while, they kind of banned me because I had too many friends. And they said like, yeah, it's like, you're not like a person. Like how is possible to have so many friends? So then they kind of like, we needed to open a page. And it's like in a page, it's like all of course, financial, that you have to pay for the page. And like unless if you not pay, people will not see you, the feeds or the posts or what you're doing. And so Facebook is not my thing, but I thought maybe doing some group, because there are many people that are coming to this group, like we are the same kind of a group. Maybe there is 10 more people that usually come to the group, if I think about that. And if we can open like kind of a mail list or something like that, or if you have an idea, a WhatsApp group or something like that, that we can like regularly share things and post like different ideas, different questions, will be really, really nice. So if you have an idea of how to do that, it will be really nice. I can work on myself and do it on Facebook. It's I will need to just like work on myself spiritually to get there, and or any other way. And then we can develop like kind of a group, and like all the people that are usually meeting here, and the people who want to join can join that group, and we have a more kind of a regular communication about things. And like also soon, it seems like things are opening up, and like the routine is going to change as well. So maybe the hours will not be the same, for like the availability for many people will not be the same as well. So we can discuss about more of these technical things and how we keep on meeting in these ways as well. So any suggestion, any thoughts about how to do it, if you want to do it, does it sound a good idea?
It sounds like a good idea. Since I'm not on Facebook, I would love it if it was not on Facebook, but if the majority goes with for Facebook, then I guess then that is that.
What do you guys say?
Yeah, I have found like my own Facebook page can be a nightmare, and to be more sane, I have to ignore it because I get too caught up in crap. But I also have Facebook groups that are very positive, and it's the only way I kind of know what's going on, you know, regarding like the community, volunteering, support groups that are positive. So I kind of see the awful need for Facebook in a way. So this would, to me, would be like a positive group. I know I have a couple of friends that have almost made, not fake accounts, but basically made an account, and then they don't really do their own page just so they can kind of connect with the groups they want to. But yeah, Facebook is like our friend and our enemy, but I think a group like this, it would be a friend. So.
Yes, Shira, can you help me out with that? Maybe can you make a group like that? Would it be something that you agree to do?
I can make a group on Facebook, I think. But we I can, think that also there were a lot of voices here that was preferring other platforms. And maybe
any other suggestion? And then Facebook.
I think you or someone here said a WhatsApp group or something. I don't know. I think like if some, I think it's enough for one person to prefer something else, and it's okay to do something else. I don't know. I don't mind if it's Facebook. I use Facebook. For me, it's very practical. It's helpful for pool cars and for apartment searching and for many things, but I know many people who don't dislike it, and I feel like it's very possible to do it in another platform.
Just WhatsApp is quite linear, so you can't really create a discussion around a topic there, because it goes further all the time, so it wouldn't create a discussion around one different topics. Like with Facebook, I think you can do that. You can mail do a mailing about one topic, and then people continue within that topic. But if there are some other means for that, I don't know.
If I may, Kobe, too, you know, sometimes I find, I don't like Facebook either, but sometimes it's a necessary evil. I experimented with different things while I was traveling through Asia, family, friends and stuff, and I just couldn't get everyone engaged in the same platform. I ended up going to a Facebook closed group just with my family and friends. And it was just very frustrating because I did my own blog and everything and no one was looking at it, which is fine. But then they'd ask me, hey, what are you up to? So it kind of was kind of, I just kind of succumbed to it and said, okay. But again, in a closed group, I feel very safe, like communicating with my family. And they understand that this is a closed group, you know, don't be reposting stuff, what have you. But I have to say too, Facebook does have a lot of the tools sometimes making it easier to do things and the continuity of discussions and photos. And let's say you want to go back to see something, but perhaps maybe even your own blog, maybe. Yeah, but you need a video platform, right? Yeah, see. That's the problem. So sometimes you're locked into WhatsApp or Facebook, et cetera. Anyway, my two cents.
Okay. Is it possible to continue with this Zoom? Having Zoom meetings?
No, this is going to continue as regular for now.
Okay.
Till we'll see if people will not be able to take the classes, so we'll change maybe the time or we will we'll do something about it. But the Zoom classes are continuing as usual.
Okay.
It's just an addition to it.
Okay.
Hello. I'm also not so good on Facebook. I mean, I don't know that much, but I know that WhatsApp has not... a server by its own. It means if you post videos, then if you move the videos on your mobile, you cannot see them anymore. And I think for save videos and information like Chronicle, WhatsApp is not a good tool. And another point is for me, what is the use, I mean, the using of this, because WhatsApp, it's on, in my case, it's on my mobile, and it's like I'm always available through WhatsApp. I cannot really shut it off. And in Facebook is okay, I have time and I go on and I can see what is going on. And yeah, maybe it's also important to know why people don't like something, and then maybe long term it's able to find another tool. There is another tool, I don't know if this is also awful for someone, but it calls Telegram, and it is something between WhatsApp and Facebook. But actually I'm also very okay with Facebook, and thank you so much. And I want to say thank you so much also for these lessons, for this, two times a week. It is really wonderful. I mean, it is like a dream coming true. And yeah, I want to say a huge thank you so much. Thank you.
You're most welcome, Manza. Thank you. So, Shira, can you write your Facebook account, please? And if you want to be part of this group, send your profile. This would be the thing, Shira, to do?
Yes. And also, I think I can... post, like, let's say when I create the group, I can write the name, and then if you search for it and you can ask to join, and I can approve whoever is coming in, like I don't know if I call it vagabond or like if someone writes this and search for it, then they can ask to join, I guess.
Okay, great. Becky is saying that we can post a new group on the VT group. So, Shira, please, when you, it's like whoever wants, please write an email to Shira or write a Facebook message to her, and she will also post it on the Vagabond Temple group, and we will find it and like join to it, and like slowly, slowly, in a couple of weeks, we'll have everyone in it. Making sense? Okay. And Shira, if you can please make me and Pazit an admin as well, so that if we need to approve someone, we could approve them. Make it as a private group so that we'll people that are. Thank you so much. It's like it's such a privilege to be with you. We are continuing. We'll meet again on Monday and keep on with the text. And I'm really excited for that. Really open to any criticism, any faults of mine that you want to, that are hidden and you want to expose. Please do that as soon as possible. Much love to everyone. And thanks, Shira, for everything.
Thank you.